Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to begin reading in verse 16. This is a good verse to start with. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, before I get started, this is a quote I want to read you from John Bunyan. Now, y'all might know John Bunyan. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. I remember reading Pilgrim's Progress and thinking, wow, this is good. It's an allegory about the life of a Christian. And when I read it, I was a young Christian at that time, a young believer. And it really affected me. I really thought it was great. I talked to a gentleman who was also a lawyer, and he said, I had to read that in college because I had a copy of it on the desk. I was at work. He said, I had to read that in college. He said, it is dry as dust. And I said, well, maybe to you, but it wasn't to me, and it wasn't to me. But this is a quote he wrote. Grace can pardon our ungodliness and justify us with Christ's righteousness. It can put the Spirit of Jesus Christ within us. It can help us when we are down. It can heal us when we are wounded. It can multiply pardons as we, through frailty, multiply transgressions. Now, John Bunyan evidently says he was a Puritan. Now, I may not agree with a lot of the actions of the Puritans. I don't know that I want to live in that time, Mac. They were a bit stricter than I would want to be under or around. However, some of their words are just spot on, because the grace of God does everything for us. A man or a woman needs the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and here's the thing, every day. And by that I mean every day, all day long. All we are capable of ourselves is to multiply transgressions. But thank God for the perfect redemption, the perfect righteousness, the perfect sanctification, and the perfect pardon of the Son of God, amen, Jesus Christ. Now, here in 2 Timothy 2, we will see some of Christ's perfections. Now, I'm just going to say a little bit about verse 18. Not a whole lot, but just for the basis, because basically verse 19 is where I'm going to preach. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Hymenaeus and Philetus, but here's the gist of it from Apostle Paul. They were wrong. They were dead wrong. They were very wrong. They were completely wrong. The resurrection had not passed. Amen. That's all you can say about it. And what did he say? And this is the way he put it. Well, he said, concerning the truth, they have erred. They have erred. They erred concerning the truth. And they were an example given by the Apostle Paul of what he called profane and vain babblings. And he tells us to shun them. Okay? Shun them. What does profane and vain babblings mean? Well, it means they were an example of heathen, fruitless discussion. That's what it means. Fruit. There's no fruit in this discussion. Why? They were wrong. They were wrong. They said that the resurrection had happened and the resurrection had not happened. Now, if anyone tells you the day of the resurrection or the day of the battle of Armageddon, they're wrong. That's all I can tell you about that. Trust me, there have been many, quote, false prophets. Why? Because they made false prophecies. And I don't care who it is. Joseph Smith predicted the last day two or three times. Jack Van Impe prophesied of the end time coming. And it didn't happen. And you want to know why? Because they were false prophets. Amen. I mean, that's all there is to it. They erred concerning the truth. The people from the Jehovah Witnesses, J.F. Rutherford, and there was another one, and I forget his name, they had all predicted the end of the world. It hasn't happened yet. It is going to happen. But I can tell you this. Christ said, no man knows the day or the hour. So if any man tells you the day or the hour, they're wrong. Nobody knows except the Father. Amen. And we'll know when he comes. We'll know. Anyhow. But these two caused trouble in the assembly with profane and vain babbling. But here's the thing. Paul goes from this to this next word, which I dearly love, nevertheless. Nevertheless. I love that word. I'll say it. I've said it, and I'll still say it. It's one of my favorite words in the Bible. I know a lot of times when I read this word, nevertheless, sometimes something really glorious is coming. And that's true here. But I'll give you a couple of examples of in the Old Testament. Psalm 73 and 22 and 23. You don't have to turn there. But he starts with this. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Then comes that word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Oh, I like that. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. And Psalm 106 says this. Verse 6 of Psalm 106 says this. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, at the sea, even at the Red Sea, at their moment of deliverance. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So, I mean, we've sinned with our fathers, we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly. Our fathers didn't understand what happened in Egypt. Oh, and they did not remember the mercies, and they provoked God at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, verse 8, he saved them. Why? For his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. So I like the word nevertheless. I like that word. And that's what Paul uses here. Nevertheless, nevertheless. Because here's the thing. No matter how bad things seem, and they may be bad, okay? no matter your circumstances. And I'm not going to make light of your circumstances, because they can be awful. They can be horrible. They can be anything from illness to old age to financial problems to the whole gamut. We are not unaffected by the world. We are in the world. We're not of it, but we are in this world. And we have to have our next meal. And we have to have clothes. We have to have this. But our Father knows. But that's the thing. No matter the circumstances, as trying as they may be, no matter how unclean, how mean, or how sinful you feel, there is always, always a nevertheless from Christ to his people. I guarantee it. Jesus Christ always has a nevertheless for his chosen people. I'll give you one more from Paul in Hebrews. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Grievous. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Understand, even being chastised by God is good for you. It's not pleasant. It is grievous, but nevertheless, it yields. Doesn't say it's going to try to. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Not your righteousness, his, but it's still there. Oh. So what am I saying? Nevertheless, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And what after what Paul tells us in verses 16 to 18 here in 2 Timothy, he gives us the good news. And that's what he starts with. Nevertheless. And then he says these words, the foundation of God. That's good news. That's good news, okay? This word, foundation, means substructure or foundation. That's what it actually means, okay? This is the base on which everything is built, okay? If there is no foundation, all that's left, according to the song and according to the scriptures, is sinking sand.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, let's be clear, because here it is, the foundation of God, the foundation of God is not you, you, or me. The foundation of God is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The scripture is clear. The scripture is clear. All of God's people are built upon the rock. The rock. And the rock, Christ Jesus. Now, there's a song, I may not exactly agree with all the words on it, but I do agree with the chorus. I hold not the rock holds me. That's what I want. I hold not the rock holds me, the rock holds me. I'm resting on the rock of God.
Amen.
He is the foundation of God. There is no other foundation. And praise God for our foundation sure. Praise God for our salvation sure. He is both. He is all. Because there is no other foundation that can be laid than that is laid, Christ Jesus. No other foundation can be laid, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. There is only one foundation, and Paul writes it here. It's the foundation of God.
Amen.
The foundation of God. He is our foundation, and he stands sure, which we're going to get to in just a minute. He's our foundation. He's our message. He's our gospel. He's the good news. Oh, I like that. He is our salvation. Jesus Christ is. And what did Paul say about that in Galatians 1? What? Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Let him be accursed. And then he said it again. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel, if any man preach any other foundation, if any man preach any other salvation than Jesus Christ, right? If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And that's accursed of God. He said one time, somebody needs to be anathema maranatha. And that's accursed when Christ comes. Paul is serious about this. The foundation of God is what he's writing about. And what does he say about this foundation? What? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That's good news too. The foundation of God stands sure. There is another verse in there that says, praise God for his foundation sure. The rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, I like that. Mr. Woost put this verse this way. However, the immovable foundation of God has stood and at present stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let those who name the name of the Lord depart from every wickedness.
Amen.
The foundation of God stands sure. Now listen, folks, the foundation doesn't need your help. The foundation doesn't need you. You need the foundation.
Amen, that's right.
And that's just the truth of the matter. And it's the foundation that stands sure. It's not you standing sure, even on the foundation. Although, you will stand sure if you're on that foundation. And we'll mention that here in just a minute. But what is it? It's like the sure mercies of David. The Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and what?
Sure.
You know why? Because David was on God's foundation.
Amen.
The foundation of God. And God's foundation is sure. God's foundation is sure. That's actually my title, Paul, if you ever get this far. God's foundation is sure. Like the sure mercies of David, his foundation stands ever. Forever. The foundation of God, Jesus Christ, stands sure. He is our foundation. He is our rock. He is the chief, precious cornerstone. What's that? That's a foundation stone. The cornerstone is. The foundation stone. The cornerstone. Everyone, and this is the point here, everyone that is placed upon this foundation is surely safe and secure and saved. Saved. Because he is our rock. He stands sure and we stand on him by the workings of his mighty power. Oh, I like that. Because here it is. If he, Christ Jesus, stands, and he does, we stand because our foundation is sure. God's foundation is sure. Psalms 40 and verse 2 put it this way. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. But he just didn't leave you there. And set my feet upon a rock. God's foundation is sure. And he didn't stop there either. You understand? He took you out of the horrible pit, took your feet out of the miry clay. He set your feet on a rock. And then what does he say? And established my goings. Oh, yeah. If you're on that rock, you're going somewhere. But here's the thing. Think about this. He put my feet on a rock and he established my going. David also wrote a psalm. He says, where can I go to get away from you? If I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. If I go down into the deeps, thou art there. If I'm on the earth, thou art there. You know why? Because God's foundation is sure. He put his feet on a rock. They're not coming off that rock. Now, you may go here, you may go there. But wherever you go, the old saying goes, wherever you go, there you are. And if he's put your feet on a rock, that rock's with you. You're with him. It's sure. He is sure. Our foundation, the foundation of God, Jesus Christ, stands sure, and we stand in him.
Amen.
In him. Oh, I like that. I do. You know? And then he says this, and I love this part, having this seal.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like it when things are sealed. Yeah. I like it when God seals things. Because you understand, when God seals something, it's sealed. It's sealed. Oh, I like that. You know, I have to expound on this. I shouldn't have to. I really shouldn't have to. But I'm going to because I want to. But here's the thing. This foundation of God Paul is writing of here is the salvation of God also that Paul is writing of here. And it stands sure. He stands sure because he is our foundation. He is our salvation. But here's the thing. It has this seal. If you know anything about God, I want you to know one thing. Whatever, whenever, but whatever God does, it's forever. It's forever. And what did he say? In Isaiah, I think. Nothing can be put to it. He don't need your help. He doesn't need my help. He'll do the work. He's done the work. And he's doing the work. And he shall do the work. Nothing can be put to it. And here's the other glorious thing. Nothing can be taken from it.
Amen.
And that means including you.
Yeah.
And including you. Oh, I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. I like that part, I do. And he said, the rock holds me, the rock holds me. I like it, because that's what I need. Because if it was up to me, I'd walk right off the rock. But it's not going to happen. It has a seal. If anything, anything God does is forever. Listen, and here it is. The Lord knoweth them that are his.
Amen. Yeah.
I like that. That's your seal. Remember that fellow that was a comedian used to go around, here's your sign. Well, here's his seal. This is his seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, I like that. I don't know. You don't know. But he knows. He knows them that are his. Now, I want to reference back to verse 18. I didn't speak about it, and this is why, because I wanted to get to this part here where it says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. In verse 18, some people worry about who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, there are those who will use this to teach that you can lose your salvation. Nevertheless. And I like what Gill wrote about this, talking about those who overthrow the faith of some. Gill says here plainly, that is of nominal professors of religion, not of true believers. For true faith cannot be overthrown. This is his seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. John wrote that the true faith of Jesus Christ never fails. and God's foundation stands sure. But he also wrote this. They went out from us, but they were not of us.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that, John? Well, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us.
Amen.
But they went out. It's plain. Why? That they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. God's foundation is sure, and it has this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows them that are his. You and I may not know. There are some I have a good hope of, you know. You be around some people 20, 30 years, you get to have a little bit, you know, good feeling about them. That they might actually know the same God that you know. They might actually know this God, whose foundation is sure, and it has this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. What's he do? He keeps and he preserves his people. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. He keeps and preserves his people. Why? Because God's foundation is sure. God's foundation is sure. He knows them that are his. And of his kingdom, there is no end. What God does is forever. We sang that song. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. And that foundation stands sure. That foundation stands sure. And of his kingdom there is no end. And then Paul didn't stop there. He said this word, and. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And, what? Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Learn the truth of God in the gospel of his Son. Do not depart from the truth. They erred in the truth, Hymenaeus and Philetus. They erred in the truth.